Have you ever realized that there's an ebb and flow to your life? You know, there are times when it seems that things are good and the water is in, and then there are times when it's not so good and the water seems distant, right? There are times in your life when decisions turn out well, and other times when everything you touch just sort of crumbles and turns to dust. Or there's times when your career is going the way you hoped and everything seems to be on track, and then there are other times when the job just feels unfulfilling. Or there are times when family is great and it's a source of great joy and encouragement and strength, and other times when family becomes a source of stress and strife. Or there are times when you're experiencing good health, and then there are other times when you're wrestling with ill health. And when the tide is in, we don't think about it too much, but when the tide is out, you know, it doesn't do a lot of good to tell people to hang on to tough times, because tough times don't last, but good people do. I mean, you know, that rings shallow when life is tough. But there is this ebb and flow to our lives. And I would also suggest to you that there is this ebb and flow. The tide is in, the tide goes out, not only for us individually, but for us collectively. We experience that kind of ebb and flow in the life of a church. And we are right now a church in transition. And we have hopes, and we have dreams, and there are expectations that we have that the tide is coming in. The good times are ahead. That everything is going to be great. But the reality is, we don't really know. I mean, that's our hope, that's our expectation, that's our prayer, but we aren't quite sure, because it hadn't been revealed to us yet. I don't know if you've ever spent time sort of being mesmerized by sitting at the ocean and watching the waves roll in. I'm just saying this because I'm getting ready for where I'm going to be next Sunday. But, you know, and you sit there, and yet as you're watching the waves roll in, because they always seem to be rolling in, what you don't know, what you can't perceive at that time, is whether the water is incrementally coming closer or moving further away, right? I mean, it's easier to watch the hands of a clock move than it is to tell whether the tide is coming in or going out. It takes time. And we think that the past few years has been spent watching maybe the tide go out in our church. People leaving, others passing, some moving, pastors changing. And now we hope that the tide is beginning to come in, that there is hope. And again, I say we don't know fully, of course, but we live in that hope. And so here's the reality. Here's the thing you need to remember. is that when the tide is out, there's still water in the ocean. Even when the water is out, there's still water in the ocean. Maybe you remember the song, when the oceans rise and the thunders roll, I will be still and know you are God. Right? So this morning, we're going to look at a bad time in Israel's journey. You know, the Israelites had been in Egypt, and God brought them up out of Egypt, and under Moses, he gave them a new covenant at Sinai, and he brought them to the brink of the promised land. And with Joshua, Joshua is the story of great victory. They cross over the Jordan River and they take the land and they have victory after victory. They have some defeats, but they correct those. And Joshua is a book of victory. And then we come to the book of Judges. And it's a book of defeat. I mean, they have victories that they win. When the people cry out to God, God brings a deliverer, and they do deliver, but each of the judges are sort of declining in their ability to lead, especially spiritually in and among the people. So the last judge in the book of Judges is Samson, who was not a great moral leader for the people of Israel. It was a tough time. It was dark days. And now we've read this morning 1 Samuel chapter 3, the beginning of the book of Samuel. And Samuel is the last judge. It is Samuel who will anoint the king and institute the monarchy in Israel. In fact, he will anoint the first two kings. And he is a good man. He is a godly man. And 1 Samuel chapter 3 allows us to see his beginning that makes him the godly man that he is going to be. But the point here is this. The tide has been out for a long time in Israel. Desperate days, leaderless, directionless, hopeless in many ways. And they are hoping that the tide is going to come in. And under Samuel, that is going to happen. They don't know that at the time. But they live in the hope and the reality that God is not finished with them. And that even though the tide is out, there's lots of water in the ocean. And so Samuel comes on the scene, and we read this already. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 says, "Now the boy, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no vision coming forth." It was a bleak time, is what that's saying. Spiritually, it's a bleak time in the life of Israel. Today, we want to consider what we need to do while the tide is out. What do we do when we're sitting there watching the waves but hoping that the tide is coming in? And again, just to be clear, hear me. I'm not saying the tide is out for Brentwood Park Alliance Church. Okay? I'm just using an analogy to say, really, we aren't sure. We don't know. We're watching the waves. And we're hoping. We do know that the tide has been out, not just once, but a few times in the course of the history, the long history of this church. And we are now praying that the tide is beginning to come in That's where we're at. But we need to remain encouraged. We need to remain expectant, because when the tide is out, there still is water. Well, it may be a visual analogy, and I hope you can see it, but it has no reference to 1 Samuel 3 because there's no water in 1 Samuel 3. But from this story, we know that the tide of God's blessing to his people is beginning to come in. And so what is required of Samuel, a young man? What is required? In fact, man might be too strong a word. This still probably teenager, maybe not even in 1 Samuel 3. What is required of Samuel to continue to see the tide roll in? Because what might be required of him might apply to us. So here's what I see in this passage. First of all, remain available. Remain available. Four times in these verses, Samuel said to Eli, "Here I am. Here I am. Here I am." Four times. Twice in this one verse, in these couple of verses here in verse 4 and 5, the Lord called to Samuel and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And you know that Samuel is available because he responded immediately. As soon as he heard his name being called, he responds immediately and he runs to Eli. I'm not sure that I'm real good at this. I just got to tell you. You know, there was a time in our married life when Mary Beth wanted me at the table when she was serving supper. So she would call me about 5 minutes before she was ready. And I would come to the table and there'd be nothing there. And I'd say, "Well, why am I here? The food isn't here yet." So when she would call me the next time, I would wait. Right? Because I wanted to get there when the food was there. She wanted me to be there so that the food could come. Right? None of you are like that, of course. But you know, sometimes there's a delay. But there was no delay with Samuel. Samuel not only said, "Here I am," but he jumped out of bed and he immediately responded and he ran to Eli, even though this happened three times. Like, you'd think by the third time he'd sort of say, "He's talking in his sleep again. You know, this isn't reality." But no. Samuel returned to Eli three times. He didn't let past discouragement stop him from responding immediately the next time. And Samuel runs and says, "Here I am." And you know what he is saying the second and third time when he goes right away, when he's being called? You know what that tells us? To put it to fill in the blanks here, it will come out something like this: "Eli, you're the man. You may be old and losing your mind and not remembering that you even called me, but I'm going to be here every time you call, because the next time you call, you might really need me. So here I am." That's what he was doing in going to Eli. Well, over the next number of months, I expect that things are going to change around here. I mean, we're seeing some physical changes, which are easy to have happen. Easier, The chairs are, we think, close to being shipped. And now that we're this far in the renovations, we'd like to hopefully have the funds from the pledges that we've made in and on hand to be able to do the carpeting before the chairs go in and so on and so forth. So just, so we're going to see those kinds of things happen. There'll be a new look. But in time, a few more months, because this won't be a fast process, but there'll be new leadership, new ideas, new pastor, new strategies, new ways of meeting. So there's a lot of new coming, okay? So let me coach you on how you respond. Here's how you respond. Here I am. Here I am. You know? God, I'm not really sure how I feel about this, but here I am. Father, I don't even like this very much. This isn't in my comfort zone, but here I am. I don't want to be stretched in this direction, but here I am. Lord, help me to use the gift of encouragement and be positive influence rather than a critical skeptic. Here I am. And needs to be our response in the process going forward. And we need to begin to look and seek out the activity of God in the process of the days ahead, because some things may, as I said, prove initially uncomfortable. But if given a chance, and if we respond openly and give it an opportunity, they can lead to some very unexpected and very positive results. Here I am. Remain open. Remain available. And not only was Samuel available, but he was, and we've talked about this already, but just to reinforce it, he was always responsive. He was always responsive. God calls us to a life of obedience, not a life of learning, not a life of even serving, but a life of obedience. Whatever God calls us to do and to be. And you will wait for the tide to come in a very long time if you are not obedient. Verse 10 says this: the Lord came and stood, and he called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant listens. You know, in Hebrew culture, I think I've mentioned this before, but this is critical because it doesn't happen in our culture. In Hebrew culture, to listen means to obey. Doesn't mean to hear. It means to hear at a level where I change, where I act, where I do. Okay? So hear means obey. The biblical definition of the word here means to do. Yeah. I can even remember from my own years at home when I was a boy, you know, my dad said, hey, David, I want you to do this. I said, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Well, except I didn't do anything. And the Bible would say, I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard. until I would do. And hearing the voice of God, listen to me, think about this. Hearing the voice of God is a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. It's developed. Remember, this began by saying in those days the word of the Lord was rare. God wasn't speaking anymore. You know why he wasn't speaking anymore? Because the people weren't listening anymore. Not listening in terms of the activity of doing. They were living self-absorbed, self-indulgent lives. They had no time to stop and listen to what God wanted from them. But Samuel teaches us not to give up, to continue to respond, to be there, to be available. And he returned to Eli 3 times. He didn't let those past discouragements stop him from being obedient in the future. And then Eli finally clicked in, said, "This is God." See, even though Eli was a good man, it had been a long time since the word of the Lord had happened, even to Eli. What if we approached the next few months with the attitude of praying, "Father, may I listen to your voice and see especially the new way of doing things where you're leading this church and how that's going to impact my life." What if that was our openness to say, "I know things are going to be different. Help me to embrace that." And already affirm that the changes that are coming that I don't know will be changes that I will support and do. I think such prayer would make you open to new ways of God doing things in and among us here when it comes. And then we need to live courageously. We need to act. When the tide is out, it's hard to remain faithful. God shows up and he talks to this boy. Some people think that he's between the age of 12 and 16 years of age. But he's still a young man, a young boy, in the process of developing. And God comes to him. And the first time God comes to him, he says, "You know, Eli, whom you serve and you love, I'm going to just wipe out all of his kids because they've not been faithful to me." Now, there's a heavy to dump on a 12 to 16-year-old. Right? Eli, who has been a good man, a faithful man to God, had not finished well. He had not been faithful. God had told Eli that he had to deal with his errant sons. And Eli had not intervened on his sons and brought them to a point of acknowledging that if they didn't shape up, God was going to ship them out. It says here, Eli's going blind. It's probably, we're told that, I think, because it's symbolic of his blindness to the heirs of his sons and how they were leading God's people astray. And when the tide is out, we are all encouraged to live courageously. Remember God's word to Joshua. We talked about this, but it begins right when Joshua is appointed as leader. Shazach. Remember that word? Be strong. Be courageous. You know, be encouraged. God provides. It means all of those things. And this was the same challenge now to Samuel. Samuel, you're just a young man. I've got great future for you, but with great future comes great responsibility. Are you courageous? Are you going to be strong? So God dumps this heavy message on him. So here's the question. How do you think Samuel slept the rest of the night? I'll bet he didn't get much sleep. Because he knew that he only talked to God because Eli finally clicked in to who was actually calling his name. And so Eli was going to be saying, hey, God showed up to you last night. What do you have to say? Right? And sure enough, it says here, Samuel lay until morning. See, to me that implies, doesn't say, but that implies he didn't get much sleep. He just lay there hoping the sun would not rise, right? He lay there until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Maybe that was kind of a distraction. Oh, let's get this, maybe if I keep busy, you know. And so he opened up the doors of the house of the Lord. Now Samuel feared to report the vision to Eli. I guess so. But he was a man of courage, even at that young age. And when Eli inevitably asked, he spoke the whole truth. How would you have responded in that kind of situation? We need to respond moving forward with courage. It is going to take courage to meet the reality of the change that Brentwood Park is going to need to go through to become viable and what God wants you to be moving forward. And take courage. But if you wait before God when the tide is out, you will be in the right place when the water comes in. I love this encapsulating verse in verse 19. It says, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. Where do you remember reading that before? Does that sound familiar to you? About Jesus. He grew in grace and wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Right? Wouldn't you like to be compared with your Savior? Then it's going to take courage and take strength to move out in new and different ways. But I do believe this. And I'm not saying this as a pep talk to stir you up. I believe in my heart that the tide is coming in for Brentwood Park. So we need to be available, responsive, and courageous, because only then will we see what God will do. Let's pray. Father, these are times of transition, times of change, times that cause us to embrace a new reality. And that's never easy. But I pray that you would embolden us, that we'd be available, that we'd be responsive, and that we'd be courageous. And be the people that we need to be to experience the tide of your grace moving again in this place. May we be prepared for that, we pray. Amen.